Hey, Dr. Borton, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Megan. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm thinking about how hard humans make each other work.
Oh, well, yeah, some of that's called wage slave, some of that's called slavery.
Yeah, it just makes me wish that I could sit down with the ghost of Emma, hang out, and talk about socialism.
That's not really my topic here on physics.
Okay, well, let me quickly steer the ship back to your waters. 11,000 scientists just declared a climate emergency. You are a scientist. Were you one of these 11,000?
Depending on which one, I might have signed on to that one or not. The one that I'm looking at the moment starts with, scientists have a moral obligation to clearly warn humanity of any catastrophic threat and to tell it like it is. So as a scientist, I feel I need to tell it like it is.
Why do you think people are paying attention to this story?
If you think about the effect of all the things that are happening, the effects are real, and those effects are going to affect people and their children and their children's children. And so why wouldn't that be something that people would pay attention to?
What we're also facing is a cognitive dissonance-inducing moment for a lot of people, in which you have things like these scientists saying we are in a state of climate emergency, and yet the world keeps humming like we're not in an emergency. You know, it's not like people are reacting like when Japan dropped the bomb on Pearl Harbor and suddenly we're at war and there's this like national mobilization. And partially that's because the two situations are so different. And also the federal government hasn't declared a climate emergency, although we know for a fact that the Pentagon is making really drastic preparations for coastal erosion, high sea levels. So anyway, I think I forgot my question.
let me just sort of reply to it, and that is that if you think of humans as animals, we have to react to immediate threats. Immediate threats might be a snake, it might be a tiger, it might be a falling rock or something like that. So we react to immediate threats. Whereas this climate crisis doesn't seem like an immediate threat. It seems like, you know, oh, well, yeah, the sea level's rising. It's only risen a foot so far. So, you know, I don't have to worry about that today.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Pardon me.
Well, that's the point, that we evolved with that kind of threat that's immediate, that we worry about. And these longer term threats, we didn't really have a evolutionary pressure to worry about.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of those immediate and long-term threats and the lack of any sort of real direct action by governments around the world, even though we're seeing, you know, the UK Parliament declared a climate emergency in New York City, but, you know, it's happening slowly and after a lot of intense public pressure.
Let's talk about your lifetime, because in your lifetime here, if we look at the world GDP, which is pretty much a measure of how much damage we're doing to the planet, right? It's all this stuff that we make and use briefly and then throw away. It's gone up 8 times in your lifetime.
Wow. What do you see as significant about that? Like, I'm a very visual processor. So like, what are you, I don't know if you visually process, but are you like visually, does that make you feel something or think something?
Well, there was a picture a while back of all the plastic that somebody took out of their house, put on their front yard, and their front yard went from being grass to this huge pile of plastic when they took all the plastic out of their house and piled it up. And that stuff is not really a requirement to a good life. That's just additional stuff. You know, kids, plastic lawnmowers, plastic frisbees, plastic bowls that are throwaway bowls that you know, take your food and you use it once and throw it away, plastic cups. And that's the kind of stuff that the GDP goes into.
So that was your visualization, just thinking about this yard full of plastic stuff.
Well, and if you drive out any of the roads, major roads, you see garbage mountains, right? Mm-hmm. And garbage mountains are that kind of stuff all getting thrown out. We have a choice between 35, 65, and 95 gallon garbage cans in our neighborhood. No, we put one small amount of trash in the bottom of the 35, and it's not even a quarter full. And some people take the 95-gallon things, and it's overflowing.
Do you feel like you could mark in your imagination a moment when there was a normalization of these consumption patterns?
I don't think it's happened. I think people just think it's normal and it's not changing, whereas in your life it's changed a factor of 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, getting back to the scientists who are trying to warn people that it's really not good that the gross domestic product has increased 8-fold in one lifetime, right? Isn't that also rising in terms of population, too? Isn't that also indicative of population?
Yes. The impact is population times the amount of consumable money you've got times the impact of that. And that product is really what we're talking about here. And that product gets to be very large, especially with countries like the United States, where we have so much stuff.
This might seem a little off topic from the accumulation of that stuff and then how we throw it out, let alone like we don't even try to recycle it, you know, a lot of the time, and especially with the new recycling crisis. But in terms of the scientists and this 11,000 scientists who have declared this emergency, is there a common line that physicists take in particular? Like, is there an issue that physicists focus on more than other scientists in terms of the climate issue?
Well, for me, it's energy, because we're just using such incredible amounts of energy. I like to put it in terms of human use and human capability. So as a strong human, you could put out about 1 million BTUs. You use, if you're an average American, you use over 300 million BTUs. I mean, it's an incredible amount of ability to do work. In other words, why would you use a pick and shovel when you could use a backhoe that's powered by gas? Because the backhoe is just so much stronger than one person. And this backhoe multiplies a person by probably thousands.
Well, do you have any solar boat updates? Not to change the subject, but just wondering how it's going with any solar boat building and brass or bronze casting of oarlocks and things like that.
Well, I have some tin and I have some copper, and I have a cast iron fry pan, but I haven't put them together yet with heat underneath to make the bronze alloy.
But that's all you need is a cast iron fry pan?
Well, you need a very strong source of heat. And I'm hoping that I can use a propane, like a stovetop burner, to provide enough heat to make the bronze.
Cool. Well, do you have any final words for us on climate change or updates on the solar boats?
Well, not updates on the solar boats, but climate change is happening, and it seems like it's slow because it's happening. And we're not seeing this immediate danger, like there's no rock falling on our head. However, in your lifetime, things have, you know, changed by a factor of 4, 8. And if you look at it that way, that's really something falling on your head.
Yeah, well, on that note, thanks for another edition of Equality Under the Law.
It's always good to talk with you, Megan.